He is not done with you yet. Amen. I didn't tell them what songs to pick out, but I promise you that song goes right with this message today. Amen. He's not done. He's not done. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today, dear God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for your presence, God. We thank you, Lord, for this sweet spirit today we feel in this place, God. We thank you, God, for all that you are, God, and all that you do, God. You are more than able, God, of handling us. Amen. Lord, nothing that's in our life, God, has caught you off guard. Nothing that's in our life, God, is out of your control, God. Lord, you're still moving. Amen. You're still working all things together, God. Lord, and we are thankful for that, God. We are thankful for what you're doing in this little church, God. We are thankful for what you're doing in each and every one of these people's lives in this room today, dear God. Lord, we believe, God, that you ain't done with us yet, God. You're still moving, God. You're still using, God, and we're thankful for that, God. Lord, as we get into this service today, dear God, Lord, I just ask you, God, to have your way, God. Lord, just move as you want to move, God, Lord. Speak as you want to speak, God. Anoint, God. Do as you want to do, God. Don't let us get in the way, God. Yes. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, for your little presence we feel here, God. Lord, not your little presence, God, your big presence we feel, God. I'm so thankful, God. Yes. Lord, I ask you to have your way in this place, God, in your precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to dismiss our young people at this time. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. 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 It's good to have everybody here today. Good to see all of you. We got a lot of children here, it looks like, today. So good to have all of you here. If this is your first time here, we're thankful for you spending your Sunday with us, and we really believe that you belong here. Amen. And we hope you feel welcome. Amen. And we just hope that something will be said today that will bless your heart. Amen. So the title of the message today, it ain't done. Amen. It ain't done. Amen. What I hope we see in this message God gave us is that there truly is a battle today of good and evil going on around us each day. I know you've heard the word maybe spiritual warfare. If you've been around church of any time, you've probably heard that. But I want you to know today that that's not a fear tactic. Amen. That's not some kind of old wives' tale, if you will. It's not a ploy that ancient parents made up to get their kids to behave. It's not a gimmick that preachers made to get you to pay your tithes. Amen. There truly and really is a spiritual warfare going on around you. Amen. Amen. There is a battle going on around us for good and evil. Amen. And listen, I don't like to refer to the devil as anything special. I try not to give him any credit. Amen. Amen. That's right. But I do want you to know that he is indeed a supernatural being. Amen. And he is the ruler of forces that oppose all of heaven. And there is a real battle of superpowers going on around us. Amen. Yep. And that battle ultimately is about the hearts and souls of you guys. Amen. Amen. And everyone that lives in this world. Amen. And not only about our hearts, not only about our souls, but it's also about who's going to get our worship. Who will get our worship?
That's right.
I want you to know today that no matter what you believe, you will serve and you will worship one side or the other. One side or the other, amen. You may say, oh, well, I don't choose to worship either. And I'll just say, don't be so foolish.
Right.
Don't let your ego, don't let your pride cause you to believe that you have the ability or the power to choose a side or not to choose. Amen. Even when we were out in the world and wasn't thinking about heaven and hell, I want you to know that we were making a choice. Mm-hmm. Even when we not even thinking anything about church, we're making a choice. The Bible says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? An enemy of God.
That's right.
Right? The Bible says you will either serve God or you will serve the world.
Amen.
The Bible also says in Joshua, choose you this day who you will serve.
Right.
Every day we choose who we will serve. And you may say, well, I will never choose to serve Satan. I will never choose to worship Satan. Well, listen, if you worship God, you will do so intentionally. You will do so by acknowledging him and honoring him as your supreme king. And serving him with a whole heart. Satan, on the other hand, does not require that same intentionality. right? He doesn't require that same devotion. He doesn't require that same love. He doesn't require that same worship and service that we think of when we think about worshiping God. You see, fear, doubt, worry, confusion, resentment, criticism, hate, jealousy, bitterness, and hopelessness are all received by the devil as worship. So we will create conditions, circumstances. So he will create conditions, circumstances, problems, hardship, sickness, loss, whatever it is, in order to get your attention off of God and your affection off of God.
That's right.
And almost any reaction that we have outside of intentionally worshiping, glorifying God, the devil will steal for himself and he'll identify that as worship.
That's right.
So the devil will create circumstances to produce feelings of negativity such as fear, frustration, confusion, and ultimately hopelessness. And he will take that for worship. As we get into this message and we get into this very famous passage, it's so famous that our pastor preached on it last Sunday and I ain't been able to get away from it. I have not been able to get away from this passage. I'm going to be coming at it from a little bit different angle. But I just have not been able to get away from it this week. I tried to get somewhere else, but I couldn't. Right, and I want you to know today it's really a message that I believe God put on our heart for somebody today. I really believe that.
Amen.
When we get into this, I want you to think about this. Have you ever been in a situation that you would describe as hopeless? Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance where the only thought was, well, there's just no hope, right? It's over with, right? I just give up. If that's you today, I want you to know you're probably not alone. You're probably not going to have anybody raise their hands and say, I've been in that situation, but I would say that probably most of us have been in that situation today. We're going to be in John 11, 1 through 7 today, and it says, now therefore, it doesn't say that at all, right? It says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, right, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus, he was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Your friend's sick, Jesus. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, and he loved her sister, and he also loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. That's important. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. In other words, he didn't move. He stayed where he was at. Then he said unto the disciples, let us go down to Judea again. When we look at this story and in the Bible and we pause right here, the thought would come to our mind, if we don't really, you know the outcome, if we've never read the rest of the story, the thought right here would be hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, right? Forget about it. Right. Mary and Martha watched their brother Lazarus as he becomes sick. They watched him as the life drained out of his body, right? They watched him as the sickness worsened and he became weaker, and their hope began to slip away. But they had one last hope. They reached out to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They said, go get Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus will heal him. Jesus is the only hope. He's the only one that can stop this. So they sent for Jesus. But guess what? He didn't come. He didn't come. So let's be honest. We've all probably been in that situation, right? Maybe some people are here right now, and we don't like to talk about this in church, but let's just be honest. We've all had times where we called out to Jesus and nothing changed. You've been praying and praying, believing for change, and all this happened is you just feel like things are just getting worse. Things just keep getting worse, right? In other words, Jesus hasn't shown up yet. He hasn't come through for us yet, right? And if we don't have the proper context, if we don't have the proper understanding, this can cause us great confusion, right? And it caused Mary and Martha great confusion. You see, they knew Jesus had gotten the message. They knew Jesus had received the message they sent. They knew Jesus knew that Lazarus was dying. Jesus knew that their hopes were all in him. Right? But yet he waited. And a lot of times it's in the waiting that fear can creep in. A lot of times it's in the waiting that doubt can manifest. A lot of times it's in the waiting that confusion and resentment can enter and to our hearts.
Right.
So why was there a delay? Let's read verse 12, and I bet we'll see here. And we'll go a little bit further. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I think if we rationalize this today, we would come to the conclusion that Jesus, in his humanity, wanted to rush to his friend Lazarus. I really believe that today. I believe he wanted to rush to his side.
Amen.
See, but remember, Jesus said, I only speak what my Father speaks. I only do what my Father does, right? So now we get the understanding that Jesus' reluctance to rush to Lazarus' side come out of acting in obedience and harmony in the Father's will.
Right.
In other words, delay was in the plan. Sometimes delay is in the plan.
That's right.
It's my personal belief that this was very hard on Jesus. Remember, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man.
Mm-hmm.
He hurt. If you don't believe he hurt, you can go back to that one passage, the shortest passage in the Bible. The Bible says that he looked up over Jerusalem and he saw the condition of his children. And the Bible says Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
He cried, right? We know he cared for people while he was on this earth. We know he loved people. We know he had a relationship with people. He had friends. He had family, right? This was his friend. The Bible says clearly this was his friend. Lazarus was his friend. To not drop everything and rush to his side, I believe that hurt Jesus.
Amen.
So why did he delay? He told us plainly in verse 4, he says, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. If Jesus would have rushed to Lazarus' side and kept him from dying, there would have been a lot of doubters there that would have never believed. Right? They would have said things like, well, he really wasn't that sick. Well, he just recovered, right?
Right.
Well, it's just a coincidence, right, that Jesus prayed for him, right, before he recovered, right? It was really the medicine that healed him. It was really the doctors that healed him, right? It just wasn't his time yet, right? So there was a delay. But it's in the delay that the question so many have asked will surface. Right, and maybe you've asked that question before. Does God not even care? Does God not even care? Of course God cares about your need.
Amen.
Of course God feels your pain and sorrow.
Yes,
but what we must recognize is that God is what I am not. He is an ultimate multitasker. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not good at multitasking. God is very good at multitasking. God was not only there at the beginning of your situation. He's not only right there walking through your situation with you, but he's also at the end of your situation.
That's right.
And he knows what needs to happen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Remember, God is working all things together, meaning things that we don't see and we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are only thinking of what we believe our need is. We're only thinking of what we want. Amen. However, the God knows what we really need. Amen. God understands what we really need. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's about to get on your toes. Amen. You see, we only see what we want, right? A lot of times we're in situations and circumstances and we only see what we want or what we think we need, right? But God knows what we really need.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we really need to just grow up, right?
Amen.
Spiritually speaking.
Amen.
A lot of times mentally speaking.
Amen.
We just need to grow up.
Amen.
God knows we need stronger faith. God knows we need to believe a little stronger. Amen?
Yeah.
If you remember that verse where the guy said, well, you just need to believe. And that guy said, well, I believe, but heal my unbelief.
Right.
See, a lot of times we believe, but we still have unbelief.
Right.
A lot of times we need our unbelief healed.
Right.
We think God is completely occupied with meeting our needs a lot of times, meeting our wants. But I want you to know today, God is more committed to growing our faith and our confidence in him. And you say, can you prove that? I think so. See, Jesus could have arrived before Lazarus died, right? He could have just arrived, right? He could have just healed it. He could have done it from where he was at.
Amen.
He's Jesus. He's God, right? He could have did it, right? But why didn't he? See, because God was going for a greater glory.
Mm-hmm.
And you say today, yeah, he was going to raise him from the dead. That was the greater glory. You see, and that's true, but I believe there's a lot deeper going on here. I told Pastor Mark there's so much. So much. We could preach on this for months, right? There's so much going on here. See, Jesus was after a different type of faith. He was after a resurrection faith.
Amen.
See, Mary and Martha both had that "we believe you can heal him" faith. But Jesus was going after a resurrection faith. Right? Lazarus died, so did their faith, if you noticed, right? When they said they believed, if they didn't believe, they wouldn't have sent for Jesus, right? But it was when their faith died. But it was when Lazarus died that their faith died. Mary and Martha had the same type of faith a lot of us have at times. I call that circumstantial faith. Mm-hmm. See, as long as circumstances are good, I have strong faith. But when the circumstances change, so does my faith. As long as everyone is healthy, as long as my finances are okay, as long as things are going good, I've got faith. I have strong faith. But see, Jesus deliberately waited for 2 days. In this story, I believe we get a glimpse of what happens when we pray and things don't change. I believe that's what this story is teaching us here today. And sometimes it feels like God isn't even listening, but he is.
Amen.
See, Jesus waited for Lazarus to die in order to solicit a dead raising faith for Mary and Martha. When Lazarus died, they turned the switch of faith off. They said, "It's over." They said, "It's finished." Amen. See, they said, "I just don't believe it anymore." When they rolled that stone over the door, they said, "It's over with." Our pastor preached on that stone last Sunday, and I believe that inspired this message to just continue today. See, that stone was not just a big blocking boulder that was over Lazarus' tomb. I believe this also was a gravestone.
Amen.
And it was a gravestone for the faith of Mary and Martha.
Yes,
that stone said, "We believed up to this point," right? This is where our faith stopped. We believed all the way up to that stone went in front of that door. And today, we don't believe anymore. That was the end of Mary and Martha's faith. And some people in this room, somebody in this room may be at that point right now, right? You may be at the very act of rolling that stone across your door of faith, right? But the story isn't over, amen?
Amen.
I'm so glad that he wasn't done there, amen? I'm so glad that it ain't done yet. There's usually a title right there. Amen. I'm so glad it ain't done yet. When Jesus came, they didn't rush to him with some kind of passionate living faith, right? No, you see, what they met him with was frustration. What they met him with was disappointment.
Right.
What they even met him with was a little bit of resentment.
That's right.
Right? They actually scolded Jesus. They said, "If you would have got here sooner, our brother wouldn't be dead."
That's right.
Right? And a lot of times we say, "Oh, how could you talk to Jesus like that?" But I wonder how many of us have said, "I wish, where was Jesus at?" In that situation that we had in our life, we say, "Where was Jesus at? Jesus, where were you at? I prayed, Jesus. I prayed and you didn't come." Amen. And I believe we would be upset too. See, if you believed he could heal you or deliver you or give you a miracle, but you didn't, right, I believe we would be upset, right? But let's go a bit further. We've all been disappointed at one time or another that God didn't come through when we wanted him to. Right? If Jesus was after, you know, just to perform a miracle here today, he would have went straight to Lazarus.
Right.
But he didn't go to Lazarus. He went to Mary and Martha first, right? He would have said, "Take me to the grave," and he would have just raised him. That wasn't what he was after. I believe it's because it went deeper than that. See, I know this concept I'm going to share with you is going to be a little bit hard to swallow. It's been a really, really hard for me to swallow, right? It's something I have to learn throughout my life, right? And maybe you haven't got there yet, but I want you to understand something. Life does not revolve around us. Right? I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but life does not revolve around me. Right? Life does not revolve around us. Right? If you have not come to that conclusion yet, one of these days you're going to have a great awakening. Right? You're going to find out one day that life does not revolve around me. Right? There's this thing that young people say where they say he's the main character. Right? He's the main character, right? And they think that a lot of times, you know, that the world, that you're just the main character and everybody else is supporting actors, right?
Yeah.
That's the way we walk around the world a lot of days, right? I'm the main character. Everybody else is just supporting actors, right? But I want you to know today, the world does not revolve around us, amen?
That's right.
The world does not revolve around us. You see, we were created to bring glory to God.
Amen.
And that means everything he does is for his glory. Right? Absolutely everything he does is so that he will be glorified, okay? That means when he does it, how he does it, where he does it, who he uses to do it with, or if he doesn't do it at all. Everything is determined by the degree of the glory that it will bring him. See, we love quoting Romans 8 and 28, and I did a little bit a while ago. It says, all things work together, bam. Right? We love that part. Bam, we stop right there, though, right? Right, we stop right there. All things work together, right? Right, and every now and then we'll go a little bit further. We'll say all things work together for good for those that love Him. Right, for those that love Him. But rarely do we continue in that verse.
Right.
Now, if we want to look real Christian, we might go a little bit further. We'll say, you know, we'll read it. We'll say, you know, and we know that all things in God works for the good of those that love Him who have been called. Right there, bam. Right. But very few finish that out, amen. We would like for that to have a period right there, right? Or an explanation point. That's what we would like right there, right? But that verse goes a little bit further. Danny's already got it up, I think. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. According to His purpose, amen. It's not about us.
Amen.
It's deeper. It's deeper than we can see, guys. There's a lot more going on around us that we can't see.
That's right.
You see, all Mary and Martha could see was that their brother was dead, but Jesus knew their faith was dead also.
That's right.
And the first resurrection we see that day wasn't Lazarus, it was Mary and Martha's faith. That was the first resurrection we see that day.
Right.
If you skip down to verse 21 and 22, for time's sake, it says this, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go a little bit further today and let you know that this resurrection wasn't only about Lazarus. It wasn't even only about Mary and Martha. It wasn't all about the disciples and teaching them that day. It wasn't all about all those that witnessed this miracle and that would believe that day. This resurrection was also about you and everybody that's lived on this earth from the time it happened till now. Right, it's all about all of us, right? You see, we all at one time have come to a point where we had Mary and Martha faith, right? We've all found ourselves at the end of our faith, struggling to hold on, straining just to believe.
Right.
Maybe today someone in this room is there today staring at your stone, saying it's over with, the end. Maybe today you've rolled that stone over the tomb already and said, here lies the faith of so-and-so, right? Insert your name here and your story there. Maybe it's your marriage today. Your marriage may be hanging by a thread, headed for the end. There might not be no hope left, amen. And everything you're feeling or everything you're not feeling is telling you it's over with. Maybe it's a financial struggle where you feel like you're sunk and you feel like there's absolutely no way I can get out of this situation. It could be a health issue. Maybe you've received some bad news and in your mind you're thinking, you know what, there's just absolutely no hope. Maybe it's a relationship with God today. Maybe something has been on your back. The devil's telling you, where is God even at? Where is He even at, right? Why are you in this situation? Telling you God has left you. Maybe you slipped up and you feel like you really messed your relationship with God up this time and you feel like there's no hope in my relationship with God. Listen to me closely, amen. There is more than enough forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ for anything you've done.
Amen.
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 If you'll confess your sins, God is faithful to forgive you of your sins, right? He is faithful to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, the Bible says. No matter where you are today, there's still enough power in the blood of Jesus to restore you.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't matter where you are or what you've done. Amen. It ain't done yet. Amen.
Amen.
Let's be honest. We've all been there. Many may be rare right now. I know that this is what the devil wants to try to accomplish in our life. He's trying to paint a picture of hopelessness and despair in your life and make things look like they're out of control, right? He's trying to make things look like, you know, there's no control left, there's no hope left, right? He's wanting you to roll that stone over the door and say, that's it. It's over with. There's no hope. The devil loves to see people feeling desperate.
That's right.
Especially Christians.
Yep.
He loves to see Christians hopeless, right? Right, He thrives on our pain. He thrives on our anger. He thrives on our frustration. He loves our resentment. My wife, she loves to watch these medical shows, right? She watches those medical shows all the time, okay? And I'm usually looking the other way, okay? I can't really look at these things, right, because I can't stand blood. If you know me, you know I just can't look at blood. I can't do it, right? If there's ever an emergency in this church and one of y'all are bleeding, you better hope somebody else is here, right? Right? You better hope it ain't just me and you, because it's just going to be you, right? I'm out, right? What I've noticed in these shows that my wife watches is though whenever they have an emergency, a code blue light special, whatever it is, whenever they have that, whenever they have those things and a patient goes into cardiac arrest, they never say, uh-oh, we lost one. That's it. It's over with, right? Sorry, man, he's gone, right? It's just too bad. No, what they do is they always spring into action, right? They always, you know, go in there and they do whatever they do, right? They get that cart, right? And they get those paddles out and they begin to shock the patient and they begin to do that CPR or whatever they need to do to get that patient start breathing again, to get that heart back beating again, right? Now, they aren't always successful, but there are a lot of people that are still alive today because a doctor, a nurse, a paramedic, or a firefighter didn't quit, right? There's a lot of people that are alive today because they didn't give up.
Right,
they didn't look at the flat line and look at the evidence that was on the screen and say, that's it, it's over with, done, right? No, they kept working, right? And they kept working and they got those paddles out and they shot, right? And then that flat line begins to jump. Then all of a sudden what was dead is now alive again, amen? And I hope that's some encouragement for you today. Say, you may have been praying for your spouse. You may have been praying for your children. You may have been praying for this or that situation on your life, and all you see is a flat line. There's no response, and the devil wants you to call it done. He's wanting you to roll your stone over the door. But I want you to know today, if you'll just get those Holy Ghost paddles out,
amen.
If you'll get those Holy Ghost paddles out, and you'll keep praying, and you'll keep seeking God today, amen. If you'll just continue to give it that Holy Ghost shock, if you will, there will be life again.
Amen.
There will be life again. Amen. We may be one prayer away from a Holy Ghost filled situation, God. We may be one Holy Ghost prayer away from seeing that situation in your life completely change. Amen. One prayer away from sickness to health, amen, from sorrow to joy, from anxiety and stress to peace and rest, amen, from lost to found, bound to free, free in dread, amen, to faithful and courageous, amen. We may be one prayer away from discouraged and depressed to happy and blessed, amen. Don't give up. Don't give up, amen. It ain't done yet. It ain't done yet. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking God. Don't stop with that Holy Ghost CPR, amen. Keep it going. Keep it going, amen. Get this in your heart today. CPR. Commit, pray, receive.
Yeah.
Commit, pray, receive, amen. Right? Get that in your heart today. Commit, pray, receive. If you'll just keep moving forward, if you'll just keep being committed to God, if you'll just keep praying, if you'll just keep seeking God, amen. If you'll just keep believing, I'm believing you'll receive today, amen. I don't buy into all that name it and claim it junk. I don't buy into all that. But I do believe this. If you'll be committed to God, if you'll keep seeking to grow closer to God, then our will and God's will begin to align. Amen. And when our will and God's will begin to align, I promise you, your prayers will be answered. Amen. See, a lot of times we only pray for what we think we want, amen? But if you'll continue to seek God and continue to draw closer to God, what you want and what God wants will start aligning, right? And our prayers will start growing together, right? And whenever they start getting together and our will is His will, I promise you things are going to happen.
Amen.
Things are going to happen, amen? It ain't over with yet, amen? It ain't done yet. Don't stop. You might be on the verge of a breakthrough today, amen? Don't give up. Don't stop moving forward, amen? Don't turn that faith switch off, right? Don't roll that stone over the door. I promise you that God specializes in making what we think is impossible, possible.
Amen.
In fact, not only don't stop praying, not only don't stop seeking, turn it up a little bit. Amen. See, what I've seen on those shows that Heather watches is a lot of times they'll be shocking them and nothing's happening. And they'll keep doing it. But what I've seen is they'll reach over and they'll turn something up, right? They'll turn up the voltage a little bit, right? So whenever you see things not happening, reach over and turn that voltage up, amen? Keep seeking, keep praying, keep going, keep coming, right? Keep doing it, amen? Some situations and circumstances require a little more power,
amen.
Right? You say, I don't know if I believe that, Pastor. Well, I can tell you right now, the Bible says that Jesus was talking to His disciples one time, and His disciples was trying to pray for this demon-filled person, right? And nothing was happening. And they said, Jesus, we're praying for them, and nothing's happening. He says, some things only happen by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Some things require a little more power. Amen. See, some circumstances are a little more stubborn, right? Some people in our lives are a little more hard-headed,
amen,
right? Some people that we're praying for, some husbands that we're praying for, some children that we're praying for are a little more hard-headed. Amen. Amen. We got to turn the voltage up a little bit, right? Right. You got to get it in your heart today. Amen. You got to tell yourself, I refuse to believe it's over with today.
Amen.
Refuse to submit to fear. Refuse to submit to doubt. Refuse to submit to discouragement and depression, right? I refuse to become angry at God. I refuse to become critical at God. I refuse to become resentful to God. Amen.
Amen.
And I refuse to live in hopelessness.
Amen.
Amen. Keep moving forward. Keep seeking God. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen. Hope for our families. Hope for your healing today. Hope for that lost loved one. Amen. Hope for deliverance.
Yeah.
Hope is in God. Amen. And if it's not good, amen, the Bible says it's not done.
Amen.
Jesus saw that spark of faith come to life in Mary and Martha when they said, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God which should come into the world. This was all Jesus needed. He took that step toward that grave, amen, and he told them, hey, roll that stone away. Their faith moved the heart of Jesus that day.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that stone rolled over, you notice that their faith wavered a little bit, right? Their faith wavered just a little bit. See, the Bible says that they said, but Jesus, he's been dead 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
He's been dead 4 days. They even said, by now he stinks, right? By now he stinketh, meaning he's really dead, right?
Right?
Right. Whenever you begin to stink, it means you're really dead, right? So he said, he's really dead. But Jesus jolts them back to their faith confession. He said, did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Right? What Jesus is saying is, I'm not afraid of the stink. I'm not afraid of the stink today. I can handle it no matter how bad it is, right? Some of you today are thinking, God, it's just too bad. It's just too much of a mess, right? This mess stinks, right? And it's just too much of a mess, right? Some of you need to believe that God can do it, amen?
Amen.
And he can get past your stink,
amen?
He can get past your stink today. What's that mean? He can get past the realities of the flesh, right? See, there is very real evidence that Lazarus was dead. There was very real evidence that Lazarus was dead. He stunk, right?
Yeah.
He stunk. There was real evidence, right? And what you're going through today, there's real evidence that it is, right? I mean, the man had been dead for 4 days.
Yeah.
There was no embalming then, right? There was no preserving coffins then, moisture coffins or whatever they had. They didn't have those things back then, right? Right? They believed he was really dead. He's been dead for 4 days and he stinks. So they believed, but see, they couldn't get past. There were real circumstances here, right? There were real things staring them right in the face, right? He's been dead for 4 days. He's starting to decay. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't let the stink stop him.
Amen.
Amen. Could you imagine if he would have said, you know, you're right, he does stink. I should have went home, right? I'm just going to go on home. He's been dead 4 days. And he stinks, right? He shouted, no, Lazarus, come forth, right? He didn't let the stink stop him. And he was dead. He said, come forth. And he even said, loosen his grave clothes, right? He said, let him loose and let him go. Amen.
Right.
I want see, a lot of times in church, you know, we try to kind of make light of situations, right? And you know, we're kind of guilty of saying little things like, just let go and let God, right? Or we start saying things like, if you just have a little bit of faith, right? But listen, I stand before you today and I let you know that we understand that the situations in your life are really real, right? The situations you're going through are really real, right? We're not making light of those situations. There are real problems, real trials, right? Real situations that really hurt us, okay? So they really worry us. They cause us questions. They cause us to doubt. They cause us to fear, right? Their brother had been dead for 4 days. I think this situation is telling us, right? He was really, really dead. For 4 days, he was dead. I don't know what your Lazarus is today, but I want you to understand, I know that it's real.
Amen.
I understand that it's real, right? It could be your relationship that looks and feels like it's died and you have no hope to repair it. It could be your hopes and dreams for the future that you desired and planned for. Seems like they're just gone, right? It could be your walk with God. Maybe you feel like you're so far from the presence of God, you can't feel him anymore. And I understand that it's a really real situation. And the list can go on and on and on today. And I don't know what your Lazarus today is, but I understand that it's real. I understand that it is a real situation in your life. I've told you, you know, many times it was the struggle that I've went through. I went through anxiety, and a lot of people don't understand anxiety. A lot of people don't understand depression because they've never felt it, and you can't see it, right? But I want you to understand that I had to get to that situation, and I had to understand that this is a real situation,
yeah.
And I had to really deal with it, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a situation that was in my mind just made up. It was a real situation, so I had to deal with it. But there was a time that I really felt hopeless. There was a time that I really felt like I was lost. But what I see in this story, right, in a situation that screams hopelessness, right, Jesus is saying it ain't done. Jesus is saying it ain't done. I'm so glad Jesus didn't let the stink of my situation stop him from healing me, right?
Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus didn't let the very real evidence of what I was going through stop him from healing me, right? I'm so glad that Jesus didn't let the very real evidence that Lazarus was really, real dead, amen, stop him from healing him, right?
Amen.
Jesus said, it ain't done.
Right.
You're not finished, right? He said, it ain't done. There's still hope. I believe Jesus is saying, come forth to some people today.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus is telling some people to loosen them today. A lot of us may be bound up with some situations and circumstances in our lives today, and you just feel like there's no hope. You feel like it's over with. You feel like it's just done. There's nothing that can be happened, right? I believe Jesus is saying, come forth. Loosen him today. I don't know if God wanted me to preach this message today. I don't know who needed to hear it. But I believe the reason God wanted me to preach this is because there are real situations in this room.
That's right.
There's real circumstances in this room. There are people in this room that are dealing with real problems, real trials, real things in their life, real problems. And we can't just get up here and make light of those situations. We can't get up here and just throw some little catchy phrases at you and have church and you go home and be in those real situations. Amen. Right, I really believe that God is wanting to heal some situations today. I wonder what would have happened if Mary and Martha would not have believed that day. Would Jesus have healed Lazarus? I don't know. What if they wouldn't have said, I believe you can do it, Jesus? What if they wouldn't have came to him? Maybe they wouldn't have been healed that day. See, I feel like God is saying, if you're just to believe, if you'll just agree with me in this situation that I'm going to do it, I believe you'll see the glory of God.
Amen.
Pastor Mark touched on this last Sunday, and I just feel it's important enough for me to touch on it a little bit here, right? See, this whole situation with Lazarus, I told you, is bigger than us, right? It's bigger than us, right? It's bigger than that situation. It was bigger than that time. It was bigger than Lazarus. It was bigger than those people there. It was bigger than everybody that's read it at that time and everybody that's read it since, right? It's bigger than that. It's bigger than you today, okay? See, if you read in John 12, 1, 2, 2, it reads this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. It's not up there. Right? Whom he raised from the dead. Right? See, they made him supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him.
Right.
This was after the resurrection. They came to Jerusalem. It said Lazarus, who was dead, right? This was the one that was raised from the dead. And now they are here, they are having supper with him, right? If you go to John 12, 9 through 11, it says this, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Because Lazarus was raised from the dead, many people believed. As I told you, this was bigger. There's very real evidence here that this was bigger. All of these verses happened after Lazarus was raised from the dead. Because of that, many people believed. I want you to know today that that situation you're going through is bigger than you today. And you say, I don't know why God is putting this on me. I want you to understand today, God might not be putting it on you. He might have chose you to go through it.
Amen.
Not so that you would suffer, not so that you would struggle, but so that other people could see.
Right.
And maybe many people will believe
right.
because of the way you go through that situation.
Yeah.
It's bigger than us. It's bigger than me. Amen. It's that anxiety and that depression I went through was bigger than me. I've used it many times, and I believe that I went through that so that someone else may believe. Today, that situation you're going through may be that someone else may see God. God may be setting a stage for something that'll be undisputable and undeniable in your life. Many that don't believe today will come to be able to believe because you went through that situation. There's a lot of people that never believed that I would have been up here preaching. There's a lot of people that believe that I never would have ever came to church. Amen. There's a lot of people that probably believe I didn't even know who Jesus was at all. But because I choose to give my life to Him, other people may believe, right? Amen. And it's the same way in your situation, right? Many people will believe just because you choose to believe. Amen. Many came to see not just Jesus, but also Lazarus, the miracle man, the one who was raised from the dead, and they left believing. They left believing. I don't believe it's done yet. I believe if we'll get in our heart to commit, pray, and receive, I believe God will bless you today. And I believe God will heal that situation in your life. You may say, you just don't understand. I've been in this situation for years. I've been praying for this situation for years. I've got that stone and I'm about to roll it over to this tomb. I'm about to give up. I'm about to say it's over with. I really believe that most answered prayers are right on the other side when we're about to give up.
Amen.
I've seen it in my own life. Times where I said, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't keep going. I just can't keep seeking. I just can't keep. He's not going to do it this time. He is not. This situation is not going to be healed. But yet, I said one more time. Let me pray one more time, right? And then I prayed, and then situations begin to unfold, and God began to heal situations because I didn't give up. Right? And there's people in this room today in situations that I know and circumstances that I know where people were about to give up and they called and they asked Pastor Mark and they called me and they said, I just don't know what to do anymore in this situation. I just don't know and I don't believe God's going to come through this time. And if you'll just help me pray, I don't know what to do. But I've even had people call me and say, I can't even pray. Will you pray for me? People that were at the end of their ropes. They were at the verge of giving up. But they're here today, right?
Amen.
I don't want to go on and name names in this place, amen, but I can name names in this place of people that were about to give up, but they kept coming.
Amen.
And God healed situations in their life, and I've seen it, and I've been blessed, and I've been encouraged by it. Some of you have been blessed and encouraged by it. Some of you are here today because that person didn't give up. Some of you are here today because you saw that person go through that situation. I know situations in here like that today where people watched other people go through things in their life, and because they didn't give up, because they kept coming, they're here today.
That's right.
I wonder today, will you allow God to use you like that? Will you allow God to heal that situation in your life? Will you allow God to heal that circumstance in your life? Not only for your sake, amen, you get the benefit of it, but so that other people may believe. So that other people may see Jesus. Will you do that today? Will you be courageous and bold enough to give whatever this situation and circumstance is over in your life to Jesus so that other people may see the glory of God?
Amen.
So that other people may see God. Amen. Our pastor said that the other day. Sometimes we're the only Bible people read. Amen. A lot of people are not reading these stories in the Bible, these stories that were put together for us to believe. They're not reading these, amen? So the only stories they see is our life.
That's right.
And if we give up, what kind of story is that to them?
That's right.
If we give up, how many other people will give up? If we stop believing, how many other people will stop believing? If we quit coming, how many other people will never come? I'm going to pray today and these altars are open up. They're going to sing a song about still believing. And I still believe that God's answering prayers today.
Amen.
I've seen God answer prayers. I've seen situations. I've seen circumstances where God healed them. And I believe God's still doing that.
Amen.
If you've got a situation in your life today, don't quit. Don't give up. Quit going. Don't quit going. Don't quit coming. keep coming. Amen. Keep coming. Don't give up today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. God, we thank you today, God.